Today on Seculo, Vice President Harris lies during interview. She says, quote, "We have a secure border. What country is she living in?" We'll talk about that more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Vice President Harris, you know, oftentimes you only get a little bit of a clip here or there from her, not a full sit-down interview. And when you do, you know there's going to be some news made and definitely some head-scratching along the way. But you do wonder if there's going to be outright lies, just statements that are so untrue when you look at the reality of the situation on the ground. We can start with the border, where, as I said in the tease to the broadcast, she gets to ask the question about border security. It says we have a secure border, and you wonder. I mean, I ask you folks, if you want to weigh in, 1-800-684-3110, I don't think it really matters what side of the aisle you're on. You know that the border is not secure. You might have different policy solutions, but to claim that it's secure is just outright wrong. Take a listen.
Would you call the border secure?
I think that there is no question that we have to do what the president and I asked Congress to do. Is the first request we made, pass a bill to create a pathway to citizenship. The border is secure.
I mean, first of all, so painful
secure,
to get to there.
If you mean by secure, it's not secure. That's
yeah, I mean, we all know it's not secure.
Yeah, no, I mean, look. This is a ridiculous response. What she needed is, and she's in charge of the border. Remember, the president put her in charge of the border. What she needs to be saying is, look, the situation at the border is difficult. And if she should be honest and saying we have a disaster at the southern border, and it's causing problems both for the states that border the border region of our country, but also for every state where illegal migration's happening, and it's affecting every community throughout the United States. But she's not going to say that, and they're not going to ask her to say that. So, you know, Chuck Todd presses her, but not very much if you really look at it.
No, I think the idea that the border is secure, we know that there's not a secure border in the United States of America. I want to take your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. She gets into also, we're going to get into this later in the next segment of the broadcast, the Supreme Court. She attacks the Supreme Court. She also talks about the semi-fascist comment, tries to define that, has a tough time there. And I think all of this, again, I want you to put it into context, because this is the message they're taking to people in the midterm elections. Who cares what the truth is? Who cares the imagery that you see of the southern border? Who cares about the drug crisis, the crime crisis, the homelessness crisis, the cities receiving these illegal immigrants in busloads? And then this statement, it's a secure border. I mean, I don't think most of us would not want to be at that border dealing with the crime that you're dealing with. You see the Border Patrol agents trying to deal with what they're dealing with.
They can't.
It's very dangerous.
No, I think we have to be clear. I mean, the border, first of all, to say the border is secure is a falsehood. That's a false statement. It's not secure. So that's nonsense, number one. Number two, to make it secure, you have to take definitive action. They're not doing that. And number three, ask the governors, not just of those states on the border, but the states that are receiving a large influx of illegal immigration, ask them how secure the border is. And the answer is it's not. But you've got a big announcement today, too, with the new podcast launch.
That's right. It's the Seculo Brothers podcast. Our first episode will launch this afternoon. So you want to check that out, seculobrothers.com. You can subscribe there either on Apple iTunes or Spotify. And again, we'll also be broadcasting the podcast later on this afternoon as well. So seculobrothers.com to check that out. I'll be co-hosting that with my brother Logan. And it will be different. It's different, a different show than this broadcast. We, of course, get into news, but a lot more pop culture and at a little bit different pace as well. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. If you live near the border, if you're experiencing this, do you agree with Kamala Harris? Do you agree with your vice president that the border is secure? 1-800-684-3110. Be right back on Seculo. to Seculo. And just to set the stage for you, again, give the statement by the vice president, who, remember, is the border czar. That was one of the first jobs she was given as vice president of the United States. And she was asked, she actually did a sit-down interview of substance on Meet the Press. So they talk about all these issues. And I want to start with the border again, because and play a little bit more of it from Vice President Harris. Let's play by 23.
We also have a broken immigration system, in particular over the last 4 years before we came in, and it needs to be fixed.
We're going to have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border is secure?
We have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration.
Okay, that is absolute nonsense. We have a secure border in that it's a priority for any nation, including ours, in our administration. Well, that's saying it's a priority. That's not saying it's a secure border. Like I said earlier, we have a secure border if your definition of secure border is you have an open border with no security, because that's what we have. And here's the problem. The agents, Border Patrol agents, cannot handle this. Chuck Todd was right in pointing out that 2 million people have come through the border for the first time ever. And you've got the Vice President of the United States saying that the border is secure? Well, it's not. And we've got calls already coming in on this at 1-800-684-3110. She also got into the whole, you know, semi-fascist conversation when Chuck Todd raised that. But let's take this call first.
Yeah, we'll go to Dee in Colorado. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to hear from folks who are dealing with that border crisis every day and seeing the impacts on their communities. 1-800-684-3110. Hey, Dee, welcome to Seculo.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, if she thinks that our border is secure, why did the mayor of Washington, D.C. call for a state of emergency because of the illegal immigrants?
Yeah, well, I think you're exactly right. This idea is that even Democrat politicians are declaring these state of emergencies. I think Chicago's thought about it. Washington, D.C. has thought about it. In fact, we have the sound. This is the mayor of D.C. in the press conference about, again, they are dealing with a tiny fraction of the amount. These are big cities that can take in thousands of people in a day and not even know the difference. But they are dealing with a tiny fraction compared to what you heard from Chuck Todd. 2 million people are going to illegally cross our southern border this year. 2 million people. And these places like Washington, D.C., they can't handle the small groups that are showing up there. Take a listen.
Unknowns are bad. And what we're dealing with is a big unknown. And it's an unknown that's being imposed on us. And it is an unknown that there are... we're going to do our best to prepare for, to make sure that we have an infrastructure that we didn't have. We're not a border town. I think that was your article, right? We're not a border town. And so basically what we're doing today is a new normal for us. We have to have an infrastructure in place that allows us to deal with the border crisis here in Washington, now that has visited us in Washington, D.C.
Breaking news alert to the mayor of the District of Columbia. You are a border town, because every city in the United States is now a border town, because the migration flow is throughout the United States. And the impact of having so many people coming in to a system that's not prepared, as D.C. isn't, I'm totally sympathetic there, but that is reality. Every town, every city is now a border town.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're talking about 2 million people a year, and they're not all in Texas, and they're not going to stay in Texas, and they don't necessarily have jobs. I mean, these are people, too. They're not coming necessarily with – they spent all this money to be trafficked to get across the border. When they get here, unless the few that do have relatives or family, most don't. Most don't. Most are just end up in a city trying to find a job. They're in hotels. They're on the street. I mean, it's a horrible humanitarian situation, because we encourage this with our lax border policies. It's also very dangerous. I mean, the number one killer – of adults age 18 to 45 are drugs coming across the southern border. That's the number one cause of death. That's a big age group too, 18 to 45. That's from adult to middle age. It's the number one killer is coming across with these folks, because we get 2 million people coming across. Guess who's able to use that situation to their advantage? Drug cartels. They're working with the Chinese as well. So they're producing these drugs in China, getting them to cartels in Mexico, and now they've got rainbow versions of it. rainbow fentanyl that they're getting out to kids and into places like middle schools, and it's happening across the country. You know, again, we asked for phone calls. A lot of people have been calling in. We'll get to more of those calls in a minute. It's not all she talked about,
though. No, she did talk about the semi-fascist line when they when Joe Biden labeled half of the country is following semi-fascism. That issue came up as well. Listen to Chuck Todd's question and then her answer.
What is a semi-fascist?
Listen, I think that let's not get caught up in politicizing the fact that most people in America know that it is not helpful to our country when we have people who are denying elections or trying to obstruct the outcome of an election where the largest number of people in our country voted for the president of the United States.
She never would define the term semi-fascist. And that's because it was tested by Joe Biden, and the pushback, even from the left, was so great, labeling your political enemies semi-fascist, it was so great that the backfired on them. And so she could not answer the question.
Yeah, they don't have a working definition to even quickly say, this is what it means. And so they get into the election, they get into this and that, and kind of reliving 2020 over again because they don't want to focus on what their own statements are. I think what they played was, that was like one step too far, many steps too far into the lead up into trying to, again, divide America, divide the country, and also scare suburban voters in the midterms. And then when you make a statement like that, and those suburban voters have plenty of friends and family who voted Republican, who voted for Donald Trump, they may have voted for Donald Trump once or twice. They don't consider themselves a fascist or a semi-fascist.
Whatever that is.
Whatever it means to be a halfway fascist. But again, we'll start taking more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And it kept going.
Yep.
Then she hit the U.S. Supreme Court as well. That's probably, of these two statements, you know, there's no border crisis, which I still think is the most outrageous statement, saying that the border is secure is just not factually true. Then can't define semi-fascist. And then, of course, the swipe at the Supreme Court of the United States.
How much confidence do you have in the Supreme Court?
I think this is an activist court.
What does that mean?
It means that we had an established right for almost half a century, which is the right of women to make decisions about their own body as an extension of what we have decided to be the privacy rights to which all people are entitled. And this court took that constitutional right away. And we are suffering as a nation because of it.
You know, here's the problem with their activist court definition. Their activist court definition is, if the Supreme Court ruled against me, they're activists. That's what their definition of an activist court is. Because let's break down what she actually said. So here's what she actually said. Chuck Todd asked the question, do you believe we have an activist court, put the limitations on abortion? And what is her answer to that? Well, we had this established constitutional right for a long time, and that right is gone. Well, you know, we had separate but equal, too. It's called Plessy versus Ferguson. We had Karamatsu, which was the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. So we had Dred Scott. They were wrong. So the court eventually corrected their historically wrong mistake. What did the decision in Dobbs do? It simply returned the issue of abortion to the state, and the states are now dealing with it. But to them, it's an activist court if they disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, this to me is the problem with the left, is they have no problem with an activist court when it's their side making up rights that don't exist in the Constitution, reading into statutes provisions that aren't there, protections that aren't there, legislation that it doesn't exist. It goes back to me when they didn't have a problem with John Roberts calling something they argued in court saying it wasn't a tax.
Yeah, because they won.
Because they won. And that's the very difference between the liberal and conservative viewpoint when it comes to how you are supposed to be a judge or a justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, what your starting point is. Starting point shouldn't be, you know, I want to get this done, so let me figure out a way where I can write an opinion that will get to my outcome. The starting point should be, you know, what does the Constitution say about this? What does legislation say about this? What does our precedent say about this? And then coming up with a decision based off of that. Theirs is, they already know what their decision is. They just have to figure out a way to try and justify it.
So everybody needs to know that your podcast is launching today. How do they get information? I know Logan's going to join us in the next segment.
Easiest place to go, SekuloBrothers.com, S-E-K-U-L-O-W, Brothers.com, because right there you can subscribe to the podcast, wherever you, if you want to go to Apple iTunes, if you want to go to Spotify. We will also be doing a live the video stream of the show later on today. This is our first day. It launches this afternoon. So if you follow the Jay Sekulow page, the ACLJ page, on places like Facebook, on Rumble as well, we will get that out as well. So you'll be able to get those leaks if you want to watch the inaugural episode of the podcast this afternoon, SekuloBrothers.com. And, of course, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. There were more about this on the Supreme Court issue, too, with Kamala Harris, but when it comes to the abortion issue specifically, which is definitely what she was getting at, which said, you know, she thinks now it's an activist court, which she doesn't like the decision. And I think to play the bite that asked straight up, you know, do you think there should be any limit on abortion at all? Bite 21.
Do you believe their government should put any limit on abortion?
I believe government should not be telling women what to do with their bodies. I believe government should not be telling women how to plan their families. I believe government should not be criminalizing healthcare providers. I believe government should not be saying no exception for rape or incest. As a prosecutor, former prosecutor who specialized in child sexual assault cases, understanding the violence that occurs against women and children, and then to further subject them to those kind of inhumane conditions. That's what I believe.
I mean, obviously she believes no rules at all on abortion.
I mean, no limits to abortion.
The thing is, there's limits on everything. In the United States, the government has to make rules and limits and decision making. And they talk about not legislating morality, but they love legislating what you have to do and mandates and issues like that, unless they don't. I mean, this is when their philosophy is so much more, like we said, it's about outcomes. It's not about process.
So you've got a big announcement, and Logan's joining us in the studio today because you've got a big announcement, and that announcement is the podcast for the Sekulow Brothers, which is Jordan and Logan, launches today.
That's right, launches today. Go to SekulowBrothers.com. A lot of you have already and subscribed, but this afternoon, what's going to happen? We're going to finish this show, then we're going to go have lunch. We're going to reconvene, see what's going on in the news, see what's going on in the world, and also just in our own lives. Reconvene a couple hours later, and you're going to have a new show to listen to Mondays.
Totally different than the radio.
Yep, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and more if needed. And we're going to be really discussing a lot of great content. We're going to be discussing a lot of big stories, but also, again, diving in, definitely more casual vibe. I hope you really enjoy it. I encourage you today to please listen. It's very important, just like we tell you on YouTube, to hit the thumbs up, and we tell you to do all those things, to really go on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, write a review, give us a 5 stars. It really does help us. And you can also subscribe on some of your other platforms. We're going to have video as well, and you'll be able to find that. We'll be promoting it all over the place, so you shouldn't have a problem finding it. But it's available right now to subscribe, to kind of pre-subscribe on SekuloBrothers.com. And I can tell you some of the content that we already have pulled for today. There's some really interesting pieces of information that have come out of Twitter and some of what happened last week involving not only the sort of bot scenario that a lot of people have been talking about, what's been going on with how many percentage of bots. I know that's something that came up with Elon Musk was trying to purchase it. It's also happened again now with some kind of details that came out from Disney when they tried to purchase it as well. Is how that's played in, how the bots have played in really significantly to the Russia-Ukrainian war discussion. And we're going to discuss that pretty at length, but we're also going to break down a lot of interesting, and look, we had college football this weekend, we had NFL launching really last night, so we got a lot to talk about and what this all means, because we've kind of talked about, Jordan and I, that the world of culture, pop culture, and politics, and news, and faith, and everything has sort of all been encapsulated into one now in our society. You can't really have one without the other. So what does that look like, and what does that mean as we continue to fight a culture war from all sides? And again, that's available on SekuloBrothers.com. Again, a much more casual listen for your way home, or you can check it out the next morning.
Be notified of if you subscribe, you're notified.
Yeah, if you subscribe, it'll download to whatever your favorite podcast app is, or you can listen to it straight from there or from secularbrothers.com. Again, we're part of the Salem Podcast Network, so a lot of great shows on there as well. So we're happy to be part of that family of shows. So if you've listened to any of those, you'll notice. And we have a great, if you watch the video version, which is going to be available on a lot of different platforms, it's a cool set. It's going to look really nice. I hope you enjoy it. So again, that's launching today. And then from here on out, Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays and special shows. I'm sure like when there's the midterms, we'll probably do a Wednesday, or when there's an election, you know, those kind of things will pop in. And it really does give us that freedom. This show, as great as it is, it's been on for almost 30 years. We have a set 1 hour clock. You know, that's all we can talk. And we also have our commercial breaks that are, you know, hard times. We have to get in and out. So you hear us kind of, I don't want to say we're yelling at you, but we're trying to get as much information to you as possible all the time. This lets us take a step back, breathe a little, and discuss these important topics. And we're monitoring sources that are coming from all over the planet. And I think that's important too, is to kind of be on the front lines of issues that are going to be coming, not just issues that are here.
You know, it's interesting. I'm glad you all are doing this. And look, Logan's right and Jordan's right. I mean, you can, in this 1 hour, we give you a lot of content, but it's an hour. And having 40 minutes additional or so, whatever it's going to be, uninterrupted, I think is just great. SecularBrothers.com, and you can get it to your favorite podcast. Like, for instance, I'm going to touch this really briefly. The motions were filed in the response to the situation with President Trump and the Mar-a-Lago search warrant. And it was the over the issue of a special master. And each side had to put up who their special master was going to be. And shockingly, nobody agreed to the same special master.
Yep.
And you've got and the government said, hey, listen, for those 100 documents that are highly classified, we don't even trust a former judge to go through those.
Yeah, 3 out of 4, that's what they are. It's former judges, and another was a former government attorney. And so, I mean, it's if you just look at the list and straight up, I mean, it's not necessarily that they were going in the different directions. It's just, it'll be interesting to see, because remember, while the judge will make the ultimate determination here, if the parties can't come to an agreement, the Department of Justice is also appealing the whole appointment of a special master at the same time.
Yeah, they're appointing the whole order. And even though they said they warned the judge, if you didn't do it by September 15th, we're going to appeal. And of course, as we pointed out, they already had appealed. I want to go back to the podcast for a moment here, because this is really the, I mean, we have a podcast version of this show, but it's basically this show.
Yeah, it's just this show. This is
totally new. So people need to understand, this is brand new content across the board.
Yeah, and I think you'll notice the way the style of the show is, that it feels very different. And even if you like this show a lot, this is kind of going to give you a little bit more of a personal point of view. And also, because we're a podcast, we're not restricted to some of the rules that are on over-the-air radio broadcast, whether that's on Christian radio or mainstream radio. There are rules, whether those, the way the guests have to come on, or the breaks, or the content you can talk about. Now, this isn't going to be, you know, some extreme, profanity laced podcast, but we do have the option to really talk about whatever we want. And I think that's important. I think there's a lot of issues that maybe we don't talk about on the air that will be able to make their way into this podcast. So if you're looking for a kind of a slightly different point of view, but with some similar, you know, guests and topics, you should check it out. It's going to be a very interesting, different show. Again, hosted by Jordan and I. We're going to sit down and chat for about an hour, three times a week, and really break down everything that's happening, not just in the news, but in life and what's going on and sort of, again, culture. I think culture is an important part of this puzzle that we don't really necessarily always break into. And I don't mean like celebrity news. I mean, what's happening in the world, and how we can impact change, how we can do great work, and support still the work of the ACLJ, but also showcase some of the other projects that we work on each and every day. I think there's a lot going on that people don't know, and it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fun. Obviously, there's always, you know, some growing pains, so come with us. We want you to be on episode one with us, and you'll see how things progress. It's going to be a very interesting time. We haven't even recorded episode one yet. I mean, we're doing them as live as we can.
Yeah, that's pretty live.
This happens. We go have lunch. We come back. And we do the show, and pretty much immediately after that, it's going to be uploaded, and you're going to get it in your favorite podcast app or available on video, and we're going to tell you how to do that a little bit later on. We're still working out everything. If you're on Rumble, we're certainly going to have a Rumble channel set up. We're going to have a place on YouTube, and it's going to be on Facebook. If you watch here, you're going to see it as well. But we encourage you to subscribe to those podcast feeds. That really does help us out a ton. And let's pop a good rating. Let's make the iPoll charts. We really appreciate it.
SecularBrothers.com. We'll be right back.
For decades now. The ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Rick Riddell is going to be joining us next segment of the broadcast, talking about some of the security issues around the country, the world, and of course, politics as well here at home. But I do, and we take calls with Rick. So if you want to get your calls in now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Been focusing in on this kind of three parts of this interview that the vice president did with Meet the Press. Now, I wish Chuck Todd followed up a lot harder because, you know, he says, well, there's 2 million people illegally crossing. And then she says the border's secure. And it's kind of like, okay, where's that second part there? What's a semi-fascist? Never defined it. What,
and doesn't he, follow up on it.
Why does he say, okay, so what is the definition of an actual semi-fascist? What does that mean? What American would meet that criteria that Joe Biden used? And, of course, this idea that it's an activist Supreme Court, no restrictions on abortion whatsoever, which, again, that play is interesting, too, because that is not where most of the country is either. Even people who wouldn't consider themselves pro-life do not believe there should be no restrictions at all on abortion.
You know, the three takeaways from that, and you said it right, the three takeaways from that interview was, and you're right, to start with on the border. So she says the border is secure. And again, as I said earlier, that's if your definition of a secure border is a border that's free and open and not secure. And then we played you the bite from the mayor of Washington saying, we can't handle the migration flow here. We're not used to this. We're not a border city. Well, guess what? Every city's now a border city because this is the way it's going. So that was number one. Two, on the Supreme Court, I disagree with their opinion. This is pretty much what the vice president said. Thus they are an activist court. That's basically her definition of activist court. And, of course, I would think that the most activist court would be one that said no restrictions on abortion ever. And that's kind of where she was going with that. I mean, that would became clear. And then the semi-fascist one I find particularly interesting because I believe, no evidence of that, I mean, I can't prove it, was that they put this information out there. And the president of the United States labeled half the political opponents, I mean, half of the country, as semi-fascist if you supported the former administration. What's interesting to me is when reporters 2 weeks later are drilling down on that, which Chuck Todd sort of did. I mean, like you say, didn't ask the follow-up question. They have no response for this. And my view, Jordan, is that they have no response for this because that issue, the way they put it out there, failed 100%.
Yeah, we went too far. The American people just don't want to define their fellow Americans in that way. It's because, first of all, we know that there's plenty of people in who serve our country, whether that's in our military, law enforcement, who voted for President Trump. So this idea to call them semi-fascist people who volunteer to serve our communities, our country, put their lives on the line for our country, that those people, because of who they happen to vote for politically, are now in this class. When we use that term, you're basically just calling someone a quasi-Nazi, a semi-Nazi. And that's what it means in culture, where that's where people take the word fascist. So this idea, too, now there were some interesting parts as well. She gets asked about the vice, if she would run again as vice president. And now that's, you know, we're still a couple months out from the midterm election. And she's talking about whether or not, you know, she'd support running as vice president. Do we have time to play that sound? Quickly, yeah, we can play it.
2024. Should we expect some form of an announcement from the president and yourself after the midterms, right after the midterms, in a tradition, sort of that traditional time frame?
You're talking about the election.
The election, yeah.
Listen, the president has been very clear that he intends to run again. And if he does, I will be running with him proudly.
Why do you say probably?
I said proudly.
Oh, proudly.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard probably. You know, I don't want to get that would create
proudly.
Problems. Proudly.
Proudly. I'm very proud to be his vice president.
So there you go. The bizarre part is even questioning you. Usually that would not be even
is
a question.
That, if is that being done because the pressure from the left was so strong on him not running until recently that they had to address it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, for Joe Biden, the midterms are very important. So, like, if they were Democrats could hold on to the Senate, for instance, he then has a you know, something he can show and say, listen, we might have lost the House. We lost it by fewer votes, and we've kept control of the Senate. So it makes it tougher for the hard left to try and push him out. They were hoping, you know, you get shellacked and then you can say, see, he's just not a good leader. He's not convincing people. This whole idea of playing up as a, you know, he wants to be a moderate is not working. Be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We're taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. We want to keep those calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110.
Especially the border issue. I'd love to hear from people. And now I could say the border cities are every city. What's your reaction in your community to this? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yeah, I want to play it for everybody again because Rick Grinnell's joining us, our senior advisor for foreign policy, national security. But, you know, and obviously this is a huge national security issue for the country. And it plays an important role, too, in the upcoming midterm election. This is Vice President Harris talking about the security at the southern border. She's on Meet the Press yesterday. Take a listen.
Would you call the border secure?
I think that there is no question that we have to do what the president and I asked Congress to do. Is the first request we make, pass a bill to create a pathway to citizenship. The border is secure.
Okay, Rick Grinnell's joining us, who is former director of national intelligence and senior advisor for international matters and security. Rick, the border is secure. I made the statement, it's secure if your definition of border security is an open border with no security. That's how it's secure. What's your reaction to the vice president's comments?
I mean, I got to tell you, my first reaction was shame on the Sacramento media that allowed this woman to climb the political ladder to the position of vice president. That statement, that was a joke. I mean, where is the actual media that critique people who say stupid things? I mean, she's bumbled through something to pass a bill and didn't take a even iota of a second to talk about the border crisis, fentanyl, drugs pouring in, crime. Look, I want to say this because I think it's really important every time we talk about the border. We are the most generous nation when it comes to immigration. We give roughly 1 million people a year get to become U.S. citizens. Unfortunately, we have 100 million people that are trying to become citizens, so we have to have rules and laws. Don't ever let anyone tell us that we are not being super generous and helping immigrants. We have to have rules, otherwise we're going to end up, you know, like Europe, and there's going to be a Brexit situation, because that's exactly what transpired in Europe when Merkel couldn't get the rules right on immigration.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just the outright statement. And Rick, like, you know, a lot of people talked about it first, you know, with California and Arizona and Texas, but now every community is dealing with it. Everybody's dealing with the drugs that come with it, and the number one cause of death for people ages 18 to 45 in our country, a pretty big swath of the country, and a very important block of the country. That's your working, you know, that's kind of like the backbone of your country, is fentanyl. And that's coming through a porous southern border that is not secure.
Look, let me be really clear. When she answers the question about a porous border with what we want, you know, she stumbles through this answer, but she basically is saying we want an immigration bill to give more people citizenship. That is a call to open the border even more. Do you think that every single person who wants to cut the line just heard, I better race in, because they're not thinking about stopping us. They're thinking about giving citizenship. And her priority is to give more citizenship and not to stop the porous border. So I think she gave a green light to having more line jumpers, more people breaking the law to cut in line. And that doesn't bode well for all the people who have been waiting in line and following the rules to become citizens.
Rick, you spend obviously a lot of time, you're a citizen of California. You've been involved in California politics too, and you follow it closely, and you've been concerned about your state. How bad is the border situation for Californians?
Well, let's be honest, for California, it's not the poorest border problem, because we have a wall. That's why Nancy Pelosi and Gavin Newsom, they've all moved on. You know, we have a wall in California. The problem is Arizona. The problem is the other parts of Texas that have an open border system, and they just didn't get the wall built there, you know, frankly, because the Speaker of the House is from California. So they've already moved on. They don't care so much. We do have an illegal immigration problem in California, just like every other state. Our problem is that we have far left progressives giving more benefits and enticing people to come because you can get a driver's license without asking. You probably are voting because you can get on a voter roll, and we don't ask for ID and we don't ask for signature verification. So we have no idea who is actually a registered resident. We're not checking voter rolls. And then on top of that, there is a lot of benefits, financial benefits, housing benefits that you can get, no questions asked, in California. So we are enticing people to come to California, and it's a real strain on our system.
You know, Rick, she was also asked to define semi-fascist, which she refused to do. And it was kind of a term thrown out by President Biden, of course, in the famous now, the red and black speech. And they backed away. He started backing away from it immediately within, you know, 24 hours. But she got asked about it. She also, I mean, she went through a long statement. I'm going to play it again for people. But she would not define it, this term. Do you think they finally realized that maybe defining half the country as somehow Nazis wasn't the way to go? It went too far. I mean, they were kind of on this like upswing a little bit politically. We're honest and fair about that. And then you make a statement like that, and suddenly you are isolating a lot, just a lot of the country.
Look, I try to be an honest person and be very nice as well. But I think it's really important in today's age that we are really honest. She doesn't know what that means. She doesn't have the capacity to understand. And I say this because I've watched her for years, and she stumbles and bumbles and doesn't have a coherent strategy. She's not a big thinker. She memorizes lines and throws it out there. So if she didn't have a memorized line, and let's be honest, even then she can't remember the lines enough. So I can't say enough terrible things about the capacity of the vice president. She literally was rewarded because of being a woman of color. And that's been stated openly in California. She did not arrive in the position because she's a great thinker or a policy strategist. This is what the left does, is they reward identity politics. They're characteristics that should not matter.
I want to go next one to Albania again, because, again, your expertise there, but it's direct relation. NATO member has now reported a second cyber attack by Iran. Why are the Iranians, and this is kind of our first, picking on Albania while they know it's also picking on NATO? Is it just because of the NATO countries that's an easier mark for them, and they kind of get to make their statement and see how NATO responds? Is there something directly involving Albania that doesn't make it into the story about these attacks?
I think that's a very smart analysis, Jordan, because I do believe that they're looking for kind of the weakest link within NATO. And Edi Rama, the prime minister of Albania, I think made it clear he's not the weakest link. He was strong. He was decisive. He called on NATO to do more. We do need NATO to confront today's crises and threats, and that means cyber. And what I think the Albanians are really helping the rest of NATO to understand, that we as a collective military organization, a very successful organization, NATO, needs to be able to adjust our policies so that we're at the forefront of today's threats. And thank God that the Albanians are being very clear about this, and they're challenging the Biden administration to do more.
Rick, we appreciate it. Thank you as always. I got one last question here. We're weeks out from the midterms now. I mean, it's down to where it counts. What's your take on House and Senate at this point?
You know, I think that we're in good shape on the House, and I'm encouraged on the Senate. And one of the reasons I'm encouraged on the Senate is because the collectiveness of the media is that we're going to lose the Senate, which to me means they're really scared, and that means we're making progress. So I like our odds. I think Oz has really changed the calculus over the last 2 weeks. He's on the attack. We see Fetterman falling. I think Adam Laxalt has demonstrated he knows how to run a great aggressive campaign, and he's going to pull it out. And those are the two keys for me. I think we win Ohio, we win North Carolina, we win Wisconsin. We hold Pennsylvania and get a pickup in Nevada, then Republicans win the Senate.
How do you feel about Georgia?
I'm feeling better about Georgia. They spent a lot of money. Warnock spent a lot of money against Herschel Walker throughout the summer. So did Catherine Cortez Masto in Nevada, and it didn't work. They only moved the needle a little bit with a ton of money.
Yep.
And so I think Herschel and Laxalt are looking at wins now that they can start spending.
All right, we appreciate it, Rick.
There you go. We keep asking that question, too, as we get closer to see how things impact voters' minds, what could be on minds. You think about the Queen and how that could take over the media cycle so
sure
much.
Sure did.
Unless it's a very extreme story, it doesn't really break through right now.
There's been big movement on the Trump litigation even this morning and this afternoon, and it's not getting covered. I mentioned some of it because they just filed a pleading just a few moments ago. We're taking your calls also at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110, and we'll take your calls on that. We'll update you on a couple of issues. If you're in the border areas, which is the entire country now, 1-800-684-3110. Subscribe to the Seculo Brothers podcast. That's Logan and Jordan's podcast, seculobrothers.com.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you call now, you still have time to go on the show.
You know, I want to follow up on this, and we got questions coming in on this border issue, and we'll go to Pat's call in California. But as we go to Pat, I want to say this is a ridiculous statement that the vice president made. The borders are secure. Again, what is your definition of secure? They are anything but secure. Ask the Border Patrol if they're secure. Anyways, Pat's calling from California on line two. We'll take your calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Pat from California, and I just want to say every time I hear the leaders, Democratic leaders, like the vice president, say the border is secure, I feel like I'm watching Princess Bride when Vicini comes up to Inigo Montoya and says, inconceivable. And he says, you keep using this word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Well, I think they will throw out terminology. And if it hits to their base, who is not as interested in the issue, see, they know. We care, I say we, conservatives care about this idea of border security. On the far left, they don't care. So she can make a statement, which is totally untrue, but to their base, that it doesn't even register. I think they'd watch that and say, I'm not even paying attention, because they think that when you use the term border security, that's also racist. That's also something about anti-immigrant. And Rick was just talking about how we're the most welcoming country in the world to immigrants. What do you say to all those immigrants who are waiting in line and now are going to be waiting in line 5 and 10 years longer because of the 2 million estimated illegal immigrants that are going to be coming across our southern border this year?
This is the problem when you have, it was also interesting, she blamed the previous administration. And then the fact of the matter is we do have a broken immigration system. I mean, who's not going to acknowledge that? But fixing it is not saying everybody gets citizenship. Fixing it is securing the border, limiting admissions to people that actually qualify under the law, and then figuring out what to do with people that are here illegally. You're not shipping them back. Everybody gets that. We certainly should have them paying taxes. I mean, that should be part of this. But again, you have to acknowledge, you cannot fix a problem if you don't acknowledge that problem exists. And the problem does exist at our borders. And as I said, border cities are now everywhere. Every city's a border city. I don't care if you're in Tennessee. I don't care if you're in Texas. Of course, it's right on the border, but it affects Tennessee. It affects Washington, D.C. It affects Illinois. Everywhere is a border city right now. And we got to be cognizant of the fact that you've got to call a problem and address it as a problem before you can actually fix it. But you've got to acknowledge it exists. So when you say, oh, the border's secure, well, then you're saying the problem doesn't exist. And the vice president has been charged with, by the president, securing the border. All right, let's go to another. Let's take another phone call here.
Yeah, Stephen in New York on line three. Hey, Stephen.
Hello. Yes, my name is Stephen, and I'm from upstate New York. You were just discussing the election, the midterms. How can we be assured, based on the past 2020 election, that we're going to be the election process is going to be safe and secure? Because it seemed like it was anything but that on the 2020 election.
So, I mean, many states have addressed this. They went to court over it. Because of the changes that were made, so that we don't have happen again a time where, because of COVID, or because of something we're not prepared for, we just start changing the rules without going through the actual process to change the rules, so that the at least you know, and this is what a fair election, a core of a fair election is, that every candidate and every politician and campaign knows what the rules are and how you go about, whether it's absentee ballots, early voting, drop boxes, all of that. Everybody has to play and should be playing by the same rules. The second part is you take advantage of the laws that are there, poll watching, putting in place people. That makes a difference. The third part I would say is you show up in mass. And when you have massive turnout events, again, this idea too, you can overcome a lot of these issues of feeling like, hey, that wasn't right, because you know. And you see the actual votes get counted. So I think that's what you have to do. And some states have made that change. Some states have already made updates to their laws so that we don't see that again. I don't think there's going to be the excuse this time around to say, well, we have to throw all the rules out the door and just randomly throw everybody ballots. So that should not be the same this November.
Look, I mean, the problem on the election front ended up being that rules were changed. Pennsylvania allowed votes to come in after their deadlines, and rather than being changed by the legislature, a court authorized it. Now, some of that was set aside. You've had other states. Georgia's done some election reform so that drop boxes are just not randomly placed and not monitored. So, having said all of that, it's going to be turnout, folks, at the end of the day. And like Jordan said, I don't think you're going to have – we don't have the same level of pandemic in the United States now that justifies – or was used to justify – I'm not saying it justified it – the removal of safeguards that were in place within the election system. But let me tell you what it's going to be at the end of the day. We'll go ahead and take Joe's call from New Hampshire's. Turnout. Who's going to get the most candidates out? And Rick and I and Jordan went through a list. I think, you know, I feel pretty confident about the House. I'm not as confident as the Senate as Rick is. I don't know, Jordan, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, Rick is out in the states even more than us and working with those campaigns more directly. So I think he's seeing, you know, internal polling. The polling is definitely tightened up again in some of those states. And so turnout becomes the key. And obviously, there will be issues that pop up along the way from now until November and that we can't even predict. But what you do have to know is that if you're keeping things close, so no one's running away with it, then it really is about turnout. And that's going to be more about campaign infrastructure, amount of money you've got to spend in the last few days, and being able to pick and choose your most important key states as well. Let's go take Joe in New Hampshire on line two. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This illegal alien thing has hit kind of close to home. We had some friends visit us just last week from an area near Colorado Springs, Colorado. They moved to a small town there, and unbeknownst to them, it was very shocking. They have a house in their neighborhood that's run by the cartel, and their neighborhood is being overrun by these illegal aliens to the point where they're both getting a license to carry in Colorado just to protect themselves when they're in their home. It's ridiculous.
You know, we've had Andy Economo, of course, senior counsel for the ACLJ, has been on this broadcast many, many times talking about this issue because he was a former assistant district attorney. I've been a special DA, so I know what the issue is. And here's the problem. These drug cartels, and not just drugs, also sex trafficking. So when you talk about a cartel house across the street from somebody, that's a reality in a lot of places in the country. And it's not just drugs. It's drugs and the end usually is sex trafficking. And the sex trafficking epidemic throughout the United States, mostly coming through Mexico, not necessarily people of Mexican origin, but coming through Mexico is unbelievable. And the laws have been antiquated on how to deal with it. And that's, we worked on a project several years ago to change the laws in all 50 states and have had great success on that. But the fact is, this is where, and this impacts your schools. And Jordan said they're using fentanyl like it's candy now. This is serious stuff. And you got the vice president of the United States saying the border's fine. Well, it's not. But you know what's going to happen this afternoon? Jordan and Logan are going to be in another studio doing a brand new podcast called Seculo Brothers. You're going to want to sign up for that to listen to that podcast.
Yeah, and it's going to be a different show. So SeculoBrothers.com, and I encourage you to go there. If you go to SeculoBrothers.com, you can either subscribe on Apple, you can subscribe on Spotify. Also, you'll be able to watch the show. So if you follow someplace like Facebook and Rumble, you'll be able to find it today. And, of course, we'll get it shared out with social media as well. So this is the inaugural episode out this afternoon. We haven't even taped it.
I was going to say, do you know the topic yet?
It will be different topics. And again, SeculoBrothers.com. Check it out.